2014 midterms. Morning after analysis of key governor's races, Senate and congressional results, and how legislative priorities in Washington are likely to shift.
Tomorrow morning from 9 to 11 on KERA 90.1.
And this is KERA's Election Night Special. I'm Shelley Koffler. For the next half hour, we are going to give you the results that we have in the statewide and the North Texas races. We're going to be talking to reporters across the state and to Ross Ramsley a little later on with the Texas Tribune, who's going to help us analyze what has happened today and how it might affect policy and government here in Texas. First, we want to give you the numbers in the statewide races. It's been a very big night for Republicans who have made the red state perhaps even a little redder tonight. In the U.S. Senate race, John Cornyn has defeated David Alamil with 62% of the vote. Cornyn, of course, seeking re-election for a third term. Governor Greg Abbott, that he will be calling himself governor in January when he's sworn in. He has defeated Wendy Davis. She recently conceded just a few minutes ago to him. Greg Abbott has 59% of the vote. Of course, the final tally is yet to come. Lieutenant governor's race, Dan Patrick, the Republican senator from Houston, 59% of the vote. His Senate opponent, Leticia Vandepute, the Democrat from San Antonio, has 39% of the vote. An attorney general's race, Ken Paxton from Plano, the Republican, 59% of the vote. He defeated Sam Houston, who currently has 38% of the vote. One of the races we haven't talked about much tonight is for land commissioner. That's where another Bush family member will take office in Austin. George P. Bush, son of Jeb Bush, nephew of George W. Bush, has 61% of the vote, and he will be the new land commissioner in the state of Texas. We want to now go around the state and talk to reporters who are in the field, who are covering these candidates, the statewide candidates, from their respective watch parties. And first, we want to turn to the Greg Abbott campaign, where Veronica Zaragovia from KUT is standing by. Veronica, a big night for Greg Abbott. And I know he was saying the other day that he expected to know with the early vote that he would be able to say he was victorious. I can only imagine they're very happy there at the watch party.
Hi, Shelley. That's right. They're very happy here. They all people I've spoken to have told me they expected this to happen. Right now, Senator Cornyn is speaking. We're expecting General Abbott to speak shortly. Speaking of Land Commissioner-elect George P. Bush, he gave a speech in which, at the end, he spoke in nearly flawless Spanish and said that the GOP had won over a whole lot of Hispanics this election.
I'm wondering about Greg Abbott. You know, he was always the front runner in this race. He did not campaign. He didn't do as many interviews with the media and so forth. I don't think he had to. What, if anything, do the people there attribute his victory to, other than the fact that he is a well-known Republican and he's running in a red state?
You know, I've heard both the fact that he did fight hard for the Hispanic vote, and they say that the fact that he's married to a Hispanic woman, that helped him get votes there. And also, people I've been speaking to are saying that he's the one that shares their values, be it the Second Amendment with their gun rights, or be it immigration policy. They just feel that General Abbott embodies the values of many, most Texans.
And Veronica, I know you cover the legislature, so you'll be there when Greg Abbott takes his seat as governor, and you'll be watching to see how this changes some of the policies there in Austin. What do we think he will prioritize? Certainly, he's going to have to deal with education, because we have been told that we have an unconstitutional system.
That's right. You'll have to prioritize education, and the issue of funding for education will surely come back. Issues related to immigration. Of course, we just recently had that surge of personnel guarding the border, and the economy, the oil and gas production. And so I don't think it'll be stark different from what we're seeing now, but what we'll also be looking at is how things will balance
between.
Sure.
Thank you, Veronica. We appreciate it. That's Veronica Zaragovia. She's with KUT Public Radio in Austin and at the Greg Abbott campaign, where they're celebrating a victory, getting ready to hear from Attorney General Abbott in just a few moments. We want to go now to the Wendy Davis campaign, where Lauren Silverman is standing by in Fort Worth. Lauren, we heard a very inspiring and really gracious speech from Wendy Davis just about 15 minutes ago. She seemed very emotional.
Yeah, she was very emotional. She teared up, and particularly at the moments when she was describing some of the individuals who had helped her in this campaign, and that really was what made her campaign stand out, was the outreach that they did. They had a team working with Battleground Texas, the grassroots organization of more than 30,000 volunteers who went out and knocked on millions of doors and made millions of phone calls. And she called out some of those individuals who helped her and her team and got pretty emotional.
I heard her say that she thought Greg Abbott really had a lot of determination. I mean, she was very gracious. And after this long, hard fight where, you know, they basically called each other a lot of names, she basically said, he loves Texas, and I think he's determined to do a good job.
Yeah, you know, there's been a lot of mudslinging in this campaign. There's been some controversial campaign ads, which you've covered and people have been talking about. And so I actually wasn't expecting it to be quite that gracious. She was very, very kind in saying that she called Attorney General Abbott and, you know, congratulated him and said that we should have, you know, all of her supporters should keep in mind, that we want the best of him for Texas. So that was a kind way of her to concede.
You know, I wonder if there's any talk, and it's probably too early to know. I can't imagine that Wendy Davis disappears from the political scene. Any thoughts of where she heads next or what her goals or objectives might be?
She didn't say specifically, but as you said, she said, I want my supporters to keep fighting with me. The battle is not over. It sounds like she feels as though she's helped to lay the groundwork for something, whether that's something for her here in the state or something that she's paving the way for others is a bit unclear, but she's not done with her fight.
Lauren Silverman with the Wendy Davis campaign in Fort Worth. Lauren, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We want to turn now to the lieutenant governor's race and another senator who was giving it her all to put a Democrat in statewide office. That's Senator Leticia Vandepute, the Democrat running for lieutenant governor. As we said, Dan Patrick rolled up a big victory there, 59-39. Those are the numbers we currently have with some of the votes still being counted. And we want to go now to Ryan Lloyd with Texas Public Radio, who's standing by. Ryan, Leticia Vandepute is an incredible campaigner, but she just couldn't do it. What is the mood like at the campaign watch party where you're located?
Well, hi, Shelley. I'm here in downtown San Antonio. You know, the party is still going right now. San Antonio, I guess you could say, knows how to party. I've seen notables like State Representative Justin Rodriguez, Congressman Lloyd Doggett, Gilbert Hinojosa, who is the chair of the Democratic Party in Texas. You know, the mood has been positive, and it was very fiery when Vandepute spoke to her supporters just a few minutes ago. But the PC of Vandepute says the end of the road is here, unfortunately for her. She says she's the Democratic state senator who fought the race of her life. And I'm told that the road Vandepute traveled was filled with hope and thousands of miles traveled. And following that, campaign manager Scott Rimley told me tonight was uplifting, positive. As you said, a total of 22, maybe 23% of precincts statewide are reporting so far. So obviously it's enough for Vandepute to gracefully concede. She says that family is the most important to her.
Yeah, Ryan, I was just going to say, you know, she's still a state senator and she goes back to the Senate. So I find it interesting. She is going to be in the same state Senate with Dan Patrick, who will be the lieutenant governor. It's going to be interesting to see how well she can maneuver.
Right. And, you know, some people have said that Dan Patrick, you know, really refuses to give any chairs to Democrats in the Senate. And Leticia Vandepute was the chair of, for example, the Veterans Affairs Committee. in the Senate. And, you know, she just really says that family is the most important to her, and that's why she's going to keep campaigning for families across Texas.
Ryan, thank you very much. I appreciate your joining us. That's Ryan Lloyd from Texas Public Radio in San Antonio, and he is at the watch party for Leticia Vandeput, who has conceded her race to Republican Dan Patrick. So Senate Republican Dan Patrick will now be the next lieutenant governor for the state of Texas. And we are going to go now to his watch party in Houston, where Frank Hernandez is standing by. Frank, Dan Patrick didn't get any of the endorsements for any of the major papers in the state. Some of the Republicans said he was even a little too conservative for them, but he certainly won big tonight with a double-digit victory over Leticia Vandeput. Tell us what's happening at his party.
Well, we're all waiting for Dan Patrick to come to the stage. And, you know, ousting three-term incumbent David Dewhurst in the GOP primary runoff early this year was the hard part for Houston State Senator Dan Patrick. Now, this Tea Party darling had no problem topping Democratic Senator Leticia Vandeput of San Antonio. His hard-line immigration stance even angered some fellow Republicans, but in his meeting with reporters earlier today in West Houston, Patrick said that his priority is to secure the border between Texas and Mexico at all costs, because he considers a line for terrorism. And he said that if we don't secure the border, then nothing is secure. So now we're still waiting for Dan Patrick to hit the stage.
So, Frank, let me just ask you, because one of the things he wants to do is repeal the DREAM Act. That's the legislation that allows undocumented students who've graduated from Texas high schools to go to college with in-state tuition. He wants to repeal the DREAM Act. That is highly unpopular in the Latino community and other communities as well. Do you see that he might get a little resistance even from his fellow Republicans as he tries to implement his agenda?
Shelley, that he did admit that it's going to take some convincing, but that he just hopes that that at the very least that he's going to get to work with the Latinos who have this one impression about Dan Patrick. But Patrick is the eternal optimist, from what I understand, and he's hoping that he's going to make some significant ground later on during his tenure.
Frank Hernandez, thank you very much. That's Frank Hernandez from KUHF Public Radio in Houston, and he is at the Dan Patrick campaign, where they are celebrating the victory for the man who will be our next lieutenant governor. We want to go now to Ross Ramsey with the Texas Tribune and put all of these little pieces together and give you a sense of what this means for how Texas will be governed in the next 4 years. Ross, thank you for joining us.
Hi, Shelley. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. It's been a big night for Republicans, and as Greg Abbott said yesterday when he was winding up his campaigning, we expect to turn the red state redder. And it would seem that tonight the Republicans have done that.
It looks like they succeeded. They swept all of the statewide offices. They held on to their very strong majorities in the Texas Senate and the Texas House and in the congressional delegation. It looks like they've done really well in local races, although the information on that from around the state is still pretty scattered. It's a red state. It remains a red state, and they've kept their flag on the hill for another 2 years.
You know, Battleground Texas came into Texas and said they were going to organize the voters and they were going to start chipping away at the Republican lead. And I guess if we just look at the Abbott-Davis race alone, 12 points is what Perry beat Bill White by 4 years ago, 12 and a half points, something like that. It looks like Greg Abbott's going to beat Wendy Davis by more than that. So what kind of effect has Battleground Texas in this consolidated Democratic effort had, if any?
You know, there's so many variables that it's hard to say. You have to look at it and say it's hard to tell that there was an effort to organize Democrats in Texas in 2014. To be fair, they said when they came here that this would be a 6 or 8 year effort to turn the state. At the time that they started, Wendy Davis was still just a state senator most people had never heard of. And the Democrats didn't really have a candidate. So the idea was they were going to start slow. It was going to take a while. And they were saying from the beginning that 2014 wouldn't show any results. That changed when Wendy Davis came to the fore and became kind of a star, and all of the Democrats got their hopes up and began thinking maybe this was the year, and putting a lot heavier expectations on both Davis and Battleground, and they didn't produce. So they're going to have a tough elevator speech to make to their donors and supporters starting tomorrow morning.
So how do you think the policy in the legislature changes, if at all, with Greg Abbott as governor, Dan Patrick, more conservative than David Dewhurst as the lieutenant governor over the state Senate, and then Joe Strauss presumably will again be the Speaker of the House. He is more moderate than the other two leaders. What do you think changes, if at all? Because they're going to face some issues that they're going to that are going to be kind of contentious.
Yeah, there's two ways to look at it. The experienced leader here is Strauss. He's been in his seat for, you know, a couple of sessions. Greg Abbott is capable but has not been governor. Dan Patrick, you know, is capable but has not been lieutenant governor. So the guy who's kind of comfortable in the driver's seat right now is Strauss. You know, I'm going to be watching the Senate very closely. Six new senators came in 2 years ago. If everything falls the way I think it's going to fall here, it looks like eight new senators will come in this year. In most cases, the people coming into the Senate are more conservative, a notch or two or three, than the people they replaced. And the Senate has, over the last, you know, 4 years, become a much more conservative body. Now it has a conservative leader, and I expect a lot of really conservative legislation to come out of there.
I might mention just a few of the state senators who I think you're talking about. They're from here in North Texas. Connie Burton, it appears, is going to be taking Wendy Davis's seat. She is a former organizer for Ted Cruz, a Tea Party organizer as well, much more conservative and more in line with Dan Patrick. And then Don Huffines replaces John Corona. He, too, is much more conservative and probably would be a close ally of Dan Patrick's.
And then you have a bunch that were there from last time, you know, also from the North Texas area. Kelly Hancock from Tarrant County, Van Taylor from Collin County. There are a bunch of people up there that, you know, are going to be influential this time. And I think the energetic, very conservative place to watch this legislative session is probably going to be the state Senate to start with.
Well, Ross Ramsey with the Texas Tribune, thanks so much, Ross, for joining us and helping us put together the pieces just a little bit. We appreciate it.
Thanks for calling.
We want to look now at some North Texas races, and one of the elections that we've been watching tonight is this vote to ban oil and gas fracking in the city of Denton. And the latest numbers we have for that, right out of the gate, of course, early on, the vote to ban fracking was very high, and it has maintained its lead with those who want to ban the fracking voting 60% and 40%, of course, against the ban. And we want to go now to Dwali Saikautau. She is with a group of voters up there. And Dwali, I'm wondering if you can tell us who you're with and how they're feeling about the vote tonight, which was very much in favor of keeping oil and gas fracking out of the city.
Hi, Shelley. You know, there's a lot of hugging here, a lot of tears, a lot of smiles, a lot of happiness. I'm standing with Adam Briggle, one of the leaders of the Frack Free Denton movement. And, you know, sir, what's your reaction to this vote tonight?
I'm speechless. It's unbelievable. This is the thought I never let myself think, because it would have stopped me from doing my work. And we just put the pedal to the metal all the way to the end. And all the credit goes to our volunteers and all our supporters. I'm just humbled and gratified.
Were you surprised at the vote, at this outcome?
I mean, yes and no. Yes, I'm surprised because they outspent us 10 or 12 or more to one, right?
Correct.
But no, I'm not surprised, because we had the heart, we had the community involvement, we had citizens who cared about this issue, who cared about their neighborhoods. And so in a way, it's not surprising at all, because we had what matters.
So now that Denton will be frack-free within the city limits, what's next for your group?
Well, I mean, for our group, certainly we're going to regroup, and we're going to focus on the lawsuits that are doubtlessly coming, and we're going to help the city with that. Now we become allies with the city. A common cause to defend this ordinance. But what happens now is children are not exposed to this toxic process right in their backyards. And that's what it was always about for me, that we protect the children of Denton. And I'm just so happy that we've done that.
That's Adam Briggle, one of the leaders of the Frack Free Denton movement, and we're standing here live in Denton on a very rainy day, the evening here. And back to you, Shelley.
Dwali Saikautau, she's with the group that has been supportive of the fracking ban in Denton, and they have succeeded in passing that ban with about 60% of the voters in Denton saying we don't want any more of this. We now want to check in on the race that may be the closest race here in North Texas. This is for Dallas County District Attorney, where Republican Susan Hawk, who has served as a judge and a prosecutor, has a tiny lead, 50.12% over Craig Watkins, who's the incumbent Democrat. He has 49.9. In other words, there's less than 600 votes, rather, to. So it is still an office that's in play. We want to go now to Stella Chavez, who's with the Susan Hawk campaign. It's a nail biter, Stella.
Well, it is. But as you were talking or a little bit before we went on the air, we heard people cheering and clapping. So I haven't. It's a little hard for me to see the latest numbers, but it looks like we just got some more numbers in or some more precincts are reporting. And people here are very happy. They were clapping and cheering. It looks like Susan Hawk still maintains a lead over Craig Watkins.
Hey,
so
Stella.
We'll see.
Stella,
yes.
Let me just interrupt you just real quickly. We got an update on that vote. And now Susan Hawk is leading by 2,400 votes. No wonder they're clapping, because she has she has increased her lead. Even though it's still a close race, she has increased it substantially.
That's right. And earlier tonight, I talked to some supporters. There's some important people here, or people that you may be familiar with. Attorney Danny Clancy, who ran against Watkins in 2010, State District Judge Jennifer Bolito, who is in her own race, and I believe she's losing in her race, but she's here to support Susan Hawk. And everyone is optimistic. Another supporter said he was cautiously optimistic, but I think with these numbers, people are feeling much better.
Okay, well, Stella Chavez, thank you very much. Stella Chavez with the Susan Hawk campaign. We now want to go to Bill Zeeble, who is with Craig Watkins' campaign. And, Bill, I imagine Craig Watkins is a little nervous at this point that he's not going to be able to pull this out. Have you seen him tonight?
No, he's basically in a what's an invitation-only election night party in his office, in his election office, campaign office, and you can only get in with an invitation. So reporters have been hanging out in the rain for however long, since 7 o'clock, and he won't come out, we're told, until the final results are in. So we're just waiting. In the meantime, I had a chance to talk to Darlene Ewing, who said, yeah, it's a very, very tough race, but she still likes Craig Watkins as DA because of the philosophy he brings to the county.
I think we have that sound from Darlene Ewing, and we're going to play it now.
I realize that he's had his issues, but he still has the right philosophy on what he wants to do with justice. He wants it to be fair. He wants it to be smart. And I still think that's a better philosophy than what we've had historically from Republicans, when they just wanted to get as many convictions as they could notch up on the wall.
So Darlene is still hoping, apparently, that Craig Watkins can pull it out, but it doesn't look good for him, Bill.
No, it's about as tight as it can possibly be, and clearly there were crossover votes, because when you look at the early returns, it was 50-50, and everything else in the county was basically 10%, a 10% difference in favor of Democrats, but not in this race. This race is as close as it gets.
Okay. Well, Bill, I know you're going to keep tabs on that, as is Stella, who is with the Susan Hawk campaign. Now we're going to turn to a Senate district race in Tarrant County, which has been probably the most watched legislative race in the state. This is the race for Wendy Davis's seat, and it pits Connie Burton against Libby Willis. Connie Burton, the Republican Tea Party candidate with 51%. It looks like she will defeat Libby Willis, the Democrat, who has 46% of the vote. Let's go now to Diana Douglas, who is with the Connie Burton campaign. You know, Diana, as we've said in previous stories here on KERA, Connie Burton winning this race changes the balance in the state Senate. Sounds like something's happening there.
Yeah, as the last return seemed to be trickling in, Connie Burton's actually about to take the stage. So, I'm just kind of listening out of both ears to see what she has to say. The crowd is pumped. But, it looks like, now that Republican Connie Burton has won, the Republican Party could get a supermajority in the Senate, and that's going to make it really hard for the Democrats to have a chance to bring legislation to the floor or have their voices heard. They were already a minority in the Senate, but we've been a smaller minority now.
Thank you, Diana. I'll let you go so that you can cover Connie Burton speaking to her supporters. And I want to go now to Courtney Collins, who's with me, and she's been covering some of the other races that don't necessarily have candidates, but they are important. And Courtney, I know one of the things you've been looking at is the proposition to build a new rodeo arena in Fort Worth.
Yes, that is definitely one that I've been keeping an eye on. There's actually three propositions that go towards this project, propositions 1, 2, and 3, and they're all ahead right now significantly. I think 78%, 77%, and 72% in favor of each of these. Now, if this goes through, basically what would happen is it approves the right to build a 14,000-seat arena adjacent to Will Rogers Memorial Center. It's a $450 million project. There has been some pushback in the neighborhood, you know, people concerned about their street parking, etc., but there's been a lot of support for this because it could host concerts, rodeos, basketball games, etc. I think it would take about 14 concerts a year, they said, to make this project self-supporting.
And, you know, this was a complicated vote in Fort Worth because they had to vote on three different propositions, different ways to pay for it. But I think the numbers are such that it's like 80%, 70, 80% of the people said yes.
All three are above 70% right now.
And one of the other propositions on the Dallas ballot, and this is something that the Dallas people have voted on again and again and again, and sometimes not successfully, but it would raise the pay of the mayor from $60,000 to $80,000 and of council members from $37,000 a year to $60,000. How is that going?
Well, at last check, that was about as tight as it gets as well. I think we were looking at 50.9% in favor of doing this and 49.08% against it. So that's pretty tough. I think less than 2,000 votes were separating them at this point. But so far, for the raise has the slight edge.
And you've also been looking at an issue in Frisco.
Right. And this is a little complicated because, first of all, voters in Collin County and Denton County get to weigh in this because of the way that Frisco is drawn. And what happens is if this goes through, it gives city council the right to decide whether alcohol sales could be extended from midnight, which is what the rule is right now. 6 days a week, you have to stop selling alcohol in Frisco at midnight. It would extend it till 2 a.m. if city councilors actually, well, first it has to clear this vote, but then city council has the right to extend it to 2 a.m. Saturdays get the 1 a.m. right now. But a lot of bar owners and restaurant owners have been saying right now what happens is at 12 o'clock, people drive just a few minutes south to Plano and continue to drink and they lose all that potential revenue.
So it looks like that one's, it's going to go.
It's going to, so far, both Denton County voters and Collin County voters are in favor of it. We got about 60% of the Denton crew and 58% of the Collin County crew are saying yes.
Courtney Collins, thank you very much for filling us in on those important elections as well. In the final minutes we have before we wind this up at the top of the hour, we want to just go back through some of the numbers and, in case you missed some of them, tell you who has been successful. And quite frankly, for the most part, if you're looking at statewide races, you're looking at the Republican candidates. They rolled up big victories tonight, starting with U.S. Senator John Cornyn, more than 60% of the vote compared with David Alamiel, the Democrat. He's a Dallas businessman. Governor Greg Abbott, we'll be calling him governor in January when he's sworn in. He handily defeated Wendy Davis, and again, with double digits, he is celebrating a victory in Austin tonight. Dan Patrick has won the race for lieutenant governor. He's the Republican senator from Houston. Republican State Senator Ken Paxton from North Texas will be the new attorney general. And George P. Bush, son of Jeb Bush, will become the new land commissioner. He won his race as a Republican against John Cook. In Tarrant County, Senate District 10, this is Wendy Davis's Senate seat that she's giving up. Connie Burton, the Tea Party organizer who organized for Ted Cruz, she will take Wendy Davis's seat in the state Senate when it convenes, the legislature does in January. We're still watching that Dallas County District Attorney race very closely between Republican Susan Hawk, who is trying to unseat Democrat Craig Watkins, the incumbent. I think we've now said there are about 2,400 votes separating the two, so Hawk has widened her lead a little bit, but it's still a race that's close, and we need to keep watching that one before we can say who's won. County Judge Clay Jenkins will be returning for another term. He has defeated Ron Natinsky, his Republican challenger, here in Dallas County. In Denton, as you've heard, those who supported a ban on oil and gas fracking in the city have succeeded with 60% of the vote. They're still tallying the final numbers, but there will be a ban on fracking in the city of Denton. And as you heard Dwali report, there are likely to be lawsuits because of that. Proposition 1, to dedicate money for transportation. That's a statewide proposition that has passed handily. And in Dallas, it looks like the pay for council members and the mayor will increase. The mayor will be making $80,000 a year and the council $60,000. And we're going to wind this up now for tonight. We ask you to join us tomorrow morning on Morning Edition when we will have the final results for all of these races, and also analysis. We'll be presenting that in the morning. In the meantime, you can take a look at our live blog at keranews.org. And we thank you for joining us tonight for our live election night coverage here on KERA.